The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Welcome to Barely Filtered, hosted by Aurora and no Kristen. You guys, we never liked her anyway. I'm just kidding. Kristen is still my very best friend. Well, one of them. I have a few. I still love her. But she moved to Nashville and she drank some Kool-Aid that I'm just kidding. But she's going to focus on her thing. I'm doing my thing and we could not be happier about it. But it's kind of crazy because now I don't have anybody to talk to and I'm just going to talk to myself for 45 minutes, which kind of feel like it feels more comfortable than I thought it would. Who needs somebody to bounce ideas off of when you already have all of the right ideas yourself? No, I'm just kidding. So if you're listening to this, it is probably April 3rd, if you're listening to it on the day that it airs. And today is actually March 19th, which is the first day of the astrological new year. And I just think this could not have come at a more perfect time because here we are. Am I looking at the camera now that I don't have anybody to look at?
Yeah, you can look at the camera.
I'm like, who am I looking at?
Yeah, you can look up at the camera if you like.
I'm going to need to put somebody like really attractive behind that camera. Oh, so, that, okay. Not you. Just kidding. It's going to take me a little bit to get a hang of this. So today is the first day of the astrological new year, which means new beginnings. It is the first day of the Aries season, which happens to be my sun sign. It's kind of the first sign of all the signs. So it goes Aries and then Taurus. Olivia is a Taurus. If you don't know my sister, it just means that you're like bullheaded and stubborn. No, they mean so many different things. But one of my favorite qualities about Aries this season is that it's all about new beginnings. It's about being a beginner, trying new things, not being afraid to fall. And that's actually one of the things that I kind of feel like is one of my superpowers that I'm so excited to share with everybody during this new iteration of Barely Filtered is I have been a beginner so many freaking times in my life because it's one of those things where if something is not working for me, I move on quickly. And that's could be a good thing, can be a bad thing, but it's kind of just how it's been for me. And this season, one of my goals for this new season in life, in astrology, and for Barely Filtered is just to try my best to share my journey with you guys and what's working for me, what's not working for me, the things that I'm reading, the things that I'm loving. And I think in order to do that to the best of my ability, I'm going to have to reintroduce myself so you guys can get better acquainted with all of the things that have not worked for me in my life, how I got to where I am today. And then I think we could probably learn and grow together. That's going to be the goal here. So my name's Aurora. I am a New Englander. That's what gives me a little bit of my grit and sometimes harsh tongue. And I grew up I'm one of five, an Italian Catholic by culture family. So what I mean by that is like there wasn't a whole lot of what I've learned to be God in my life at this stage of the game. But I grew up in a religious kind of Catholic Italian family. Four siblings. I'm the oldest girl, which basically means in an Italian family, you are the boss. And I was the boss. And I still am the boss. Some things you just carry with you for your whole life. And that doesn't mean anybody listens to me. It just means I am bossy. So basically, I grew up in this family with a whole lot of chaos. My mom was a classical musician. My dad was starting bars and restaurants. And my parents there wasn't a whole lot of supervision. So I kind of skipped the childhood part and just kind of took the reins. We had like a rotating door of nannies and it was a shit show. It really was. It was fun. And we kind of bonded, I think, more tightly than maybe we would have otherwise had there been a little more structure in our house. But it was a shit show. And we're all very close in age, too. We're like a year and a half apart in order. So to this day, we're all very close. Four of us live in LA and one lives in Rhode Island. He's the one that nobody really sees. But I'm the only one with kids. Oh, I said I'm the only one with kids. No, that's I'm not the only one with kids. My brother, who you don't ever see, also has a daughter. Anyway, but so fast forward to the good part. This is when everything started to kind of get I started to really learn about myself. And this is where I feel The point of this podcast is not to be self-indulgent and to share all about Aurora and her life and what has worked and what hasn't worked. It's because when people have really gone through the mud, felt the shit, done the felt the feelings, and if you haven't heard before, I have struggled with ADHD, depression, went through divorce, anxiety, and these are things that I have continually picked myself up from. So I am a very good resource for people who want to learn how to get back on the horse because I've done it many times before. I have struggled with my sobriety and trying to figure out what exactly that means for me. Do I need to be fully sober? Am I just somebody who has impulse control issues due to my ADHD? There's been so much stuff to unpack and uncover. And I feel like, have I figured it all out? Fucking no, I have not. But I am here to share my journey with you and let you know that I have found such deep peace in a lot of ways that I feel a lot of people who haven't gone through the things that I have had to go through to get to that might not really understand. And also, I know what it feels like to be there. So I'm a person who has a better idea of what you're feeling. I know the book to read if you feel like you can't get out of bed because your a relationship has beat the shit out of you. Or I know the book to read if you feel like you can't focus because you got so much shit going on and your ADHD is just pulling you in 500 different directions. I know I have a book for everything. I really do. If you look at my Audible, it's like, are you okay, ma'am? Do I need it? No, the answer is usually no. But I'm a happy person and I have tried so many different things. You guys, I was a Buddhist. My parents sent me to India when I was 15 years old because I wanted to become a yogi. I still practice yoga to this day. It's something that has brought me so much peace in my life because I need these things in order to keep the peace because I am that crazy. And you know what? I'm not alone. I know you are crazy too. You're probably driving in your car being like, wow, this girl, she's so nuts that they gave her a show. But the thing is, you're crazy too. I know you are. You might not have all the different crazies that I have, but you have one of them and I have a book for you. So just listen up because I'm going to share with you all of the crazies, where they start and they have not ended. So just follow along.
Something I've been loving right now is Olive & June. So Olive & June is an at-home mani-pedi system. I'm not going to lie. I am kind of lazy. I'm known for just like throwing money so that I don't have to do it myself, which makes me, you would think, the candidate who just go to a nail salon, spend the $150. But what I'm not loving is the damage that has been happening to my nails because usually I'll get like, I don't know, I'll get gel or sometimes I'll do a gel X or an acrylic or something. And it's just every time I get them removed, I'm cringing because now my nails are like paper thin. So long story short, I started using Olive & June now because I want my nails to grow back healthier. So I use their press-ons and the press-ons look so real. They last super long. They have all the different sizes. They're non-damaging. And the mani, you can do it in less than 10 minutes. It's better than gel. And it's only $10 a set. So super easy removal. Legitimately, you just remove them with warm water. So none of that like crazy acetone that ends up, you know, getting on your counter and burning through your marble. Just not me, somebody I know. Anyway, but you can change them out as much as you want. You keep them on for weeks, or you can just paint on top of them. If you want to be lazy, that's what I do. You can take the polish off and put a fresh paint mani on. So if you remove the nail polish, it's not going to take off the stick-ons. Anyway, I'm obsessed. And if you want to try it, you visit oliveandjune.com/barelyfiltered for 20% off your first system. That's OliveandJune.com/ BAREELYFILTERED for 20% off your first system.
Hey guys, I'm Whitney Port and this is With Wit. A lot of you may know me from reality TV, and the reality is a lot's happened since The Hills. With Wit is dedicated to having real, raw, and occasionally ridiculous conversations with the people who have had a profound impact on me. Because on With Wit, very little is off limits. Subscribe so you don't miss any of the amazing conversations to come. New episodes of With Wit are available every Tuesday on all platforms.
Okay, so where do we start? Let's start when I was 14 years old. That's when my sister still loves to remind me. Remember when you got your stomach pumped when you were 14? I don't think I was 14. I was like 15, but I drank an entire bottle of Smirnoff vodka. Not even to like get wasted. It was just like I just felt like more means better. I was like, if like one shot is fun, then this whole handle is going to be the most fun. And why wouldn't you want to be the most fun? I've learned through my many years of trying this exact theory, that's not really how it works. More of something does not always mean better. So that was probably my first lesson in that. After I had to go to the hospital, get my stomach pumped in, they strapped me up onto all these things. And then I woke up in my house with the little like nipple stickers on. I still remember like the sticky stuff that gets stuck to your skin. And then they put charcoal in your stomach and you're like throwing it up and like shitting it for the next. Anyway, I have memories of that. And that's when my parents were like, you're a bad child. It's time to go away. And my parents sent me to camp. This like overnight camp for bad kids, which by the way, if you have a child who's not making great decisions, a great thing to do would be to send them to a place with other children who are also making bad decisions, whose parents want them to get sent away. So I ended up at this camp with all these, basically it was like other teenagers, mostly from New York City, whose parents needed them to like do something productive for the summer. And so I ended up meeting my friend there who had just like come out of coke rehab. And we decided that we wanted to get tattoos together and we were like dropping acid. I was like barely 15 at this point. So I was dropping acid. Why was I making all the, losing my virginity, being super promiscuous? I had a good family with parents who loved me, who cared about me. Why was I getting wrapped up in this world of chaos? And I think in retrospect, what it was, there was a few different things. I loved the feeling of feeling alive. And I felt like that's what I got from doing these extreme things. The impulse control was something that I had now that I know the brain, and that's from my work with the Amen Clinic, and I'll go more into that. But basically, when you have ADHD, your frontal lobe, your decision-making part of your brain, does not operate normally. So the impulse control, the ability to be like, that's enough, or more doesn't mean better, or like, just because something looks good doesn't mean that you need it right. Just that ability to kind of be, to judge the situation out, you don't have that ability. So that's why I was doing all of these very impulsive behaviors, and also being promiscuous is another symptom of ADHD, which is crazy because people wouldn't think that, but it makes sense. It's an impulse control problem. It's wanting to get this dopamine rush because you're lacking it through external validation, through a risky behavior. And at the time, I had no idea that that's what this was. At the time, I took it on as kind of a shameful thing. Of course, you get a reputation from being promiscuous. You have your parents talking to about you. Your siblings are like, wow, you're a fuck up. You know, so you kind of make this name for yourself around your behaviors that you don't really understand. And I think a lot of my life after that was learning how to undo the shame that came from those early years, those like maybe 4 years in high school. Following all of that came episodes of depression and anxiety, which is very common for people who have ADHD, who go through promiscuous behaviors, who dabble too much with drugs and alcohol. Then on the flip side of that coin of feeling alive is feeling like you want to die. So that's when I wanted to go and be a monk. I was Buddhist for a little while. I learned all about all these different religions. I got really into yoga, got my yoga teacher training. I went to India and studied there for a while. And then, and then I went to college, and then I went to law school, and then I quit law school, and then I got my master's in teaching, and I was a teacher, and then I became a behavior analyst, and I worked with kids with autism. And I'm just kind of skipping through this quickly because I could go on forever. This is my life. But basically, getting to the point of where I am today, I always felt very nurturing, like having kids was something that I knew I wanted to do, being around kids. And so fast forward, I was a teacher, had my own kids, and I got married. I had my own kids. And then I started kind of sharing candidly my journey of being a new mom on Instagram. And during that time, it kind of blew up and I gained this community of being this kind of like off the cuff, a little inappropriate mommy blogger type character. And then I stopped doing my teaching and my behavior analysis work in order to be basically that mommy blogger full time. And now I have this show that I started with Kristen and she's doing her own thing now. So we get to take this wherever we want. And I'm interested to hear where you guys really want to take it, because as you can see, there's a lot to cover. I could go so woo-woo on your ass, but like, I don't know if you really want to go there. I could do the scientific thing because I really have had to figure out like, what is going on in my fucking brain? We need to figure this shit out ASAP. I have kids now. People are relying on me and we can't do this anymore. We can't just do this trial and error shit anymore. So that brings us to present day, and there's a lot to break down in the present moment. I'm currently divorced. I have two kids, and honestly, I am so happy right now where I am in my life. As much as I love to kind of make fun of myself, and I say like my mess is my message, and I'm a hot mess, I'm a shit show. I mean, there's a lot of things that I say about myself lovingly, because yes, I always have a bunch of chaos going on, but there's so much to learn from it that I'm so excited to share with you guys. Am I divorced? Yes. Do I have an amazing relationship with my ex-husband? Not really. Not all the time. We work on it. And today it's pretty good. My kids, I'm obsessed with them. They're 5 and 3. And my parenting is, I'm constantly questioning it, but I'm working with what I've learned from my past, and I'm constantly seeking new knowledge on what can make me a better version of myself. So I'm dating. I'm trying to get back out there. I tend to lean like a little codependent. Like I'm always looking for a love, grand love that's like greater than any life experience I've ever had. As you could probably see, like a common theme here, that it's like go big or go home. I want to drink all the Kool-Aid if there's any Kool-Aid, and I want to find not just like any love. I want to find the most magical love that there ever was. And I've been looking on Raya, not so much. You know, I was conned. I don't know if you guys heard about that last one. I found something it was grand, grander than life. It was so grand that he should be like Grand Theft Auto grand. Like he's like should be in jail. It's that. So I mean, you know, I tried. When I strike out big. this was really bad. He was a full-on con artist. But I got right back on the horse. I found out that he was a criminal, and I like turned back on my Raya 2 minutes later. And my life coach was like, maybe you should take a little break. And I just kindly disagreed, because I don't think that a break is what I need. I think that I need to just keep getting back on the horse and keep on trying. So feel free to share if you agree or disagree with that. I don't think that the advice needs to always come. I think that the genius is in the room. So what that means is that I think a lot of us bite our tongue because we haven't been certified to speak on a certain topic, but dare to know what you know. That's what I'm trying to live with right now. Dare to know what you know. We all have such interesting, unique life experiences. Our perspectives bring something of value. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be asking some random stranger on the street for like, you know, advice on what supplements to take. But I think that if you feel like you've been in a situation similar to what somebody else is going through, what better person to talk about what you learned from it? And so if you ever dated a con artist and you have any advice for me, I would love to hear it. And you can call in for that. I need like a phone here so we can do a call in. option. We're going to work on that. So I'm dating. The problem with having a host of a podcast with ADHD is that this might go all over the place, but that just makes the job harder for the editors. I'm not going to change. Okay. And I talked to my astrologist the other day, and she said that because basically, long story short, wherever your descendant is on your natal chart is likely where you will find the answer to the person that you would match with the best. And that if your husband doesn't fit this, then that's fine. Like, it's not make or break, but it's a safe bet that if you look at your natal chart and you find where your descendant is, mine is in Gemini. So 14 degrees Gemini. If I find somebody whose sun sign is 14 degrees Gemini, that will be a good match for me. So my astrologer found exactly where that is for me, and it's June 6th through June 8th. And so I was so excited to find out this information. I told my sisters, and Olivia's like, that's Christian's birthday is June 7th. So that's her fiance. Very awkward because I don't want to date her fiance, but I guess I just need to find somebody whose birthday is the same as his. And I mean, that's not a hard and fast rule. I'm open. Actually have a lunch. I have a coffee date after this. And then I'm supposed to act. So since I'm 50-50 with my kids, the days that I have off are like I have back-to-back dates. So there's no shame in my game, but I'm working hard over here to find the love of my life. And it didn't work out the other night. I went out on a date. Somebody flew in from New York. And note to self, remind me if I ever sign up for a first date that's a 3.5-hour Italian candlelit dinner, because it was way too much to commit to. I can't. First of all, I go to bed at 8:30 with my children. They sleep with me. I told you my parenting style is not for everybody, but I go to bed at 8:30. This dinner started at 8:30. So I was already tired when I got there. I also went on a coffee date with him once before, and I didn't really feel the spark, but I wanted to give him another chance. And I think what I've come to terms with is that you really do know pretty immediately. Like that book, Blink, by Malcolm Gladwell, he basically says that we have all our answers within the first like 20 seconds. You just know, like, if you jive with somebody. I think you can get to know somebody better and you can connect more deeply, but I think something like physical attraction, like do I want to have sex with you, you know right away. I don't know. I have not found otherwise yet. There hasn't been anybody who I'm like, oh no, I don't want to have sex with you, and then later I'm like, one day I see them and I'm like, wow, today I really want to have sex with you, but last time I didn't. I don't know, it's just, it hasn't happened that way for me. Let me know. Has it happened for you that way? Okay. And so that's my dating life up to date. I'm going on a lunch or a coffee date after this. I will keep you posted. So I wanted to do a little segment for each of the episodes. I wanted to do a segment for each episode of what I'm loving and what I'm losing. So what I'm loving currently, I started using this blue light. It's a handheld blue light. This is not an ad, by the way. It's by Lightstim. And because I have cystic acne, and this light has been really helping my cystic acne. Like it's gone, basically. It's supposed to, blue light kills bacteria. I love red light too, but red light's more for collagen building and fine lines, wrinkles, like scar. It helps with scars, discoloration. But blue light will help kill bacteria under the skin. So that's been really helping. It's by Lightstim, and it's this little handheld device, and it's not super expensive. It was like, I think like $150, which if you have ever gone to a Lightstim, like a place where they have the beds, they're like $50,000. So this company is really good. They're usually super expensive, but this device I really do like. So that's for my acne that's been helping. Lymphatic massage, really good. It helps to basically, you have lymph nodes all over your body. It's not a massage that works with your muscles. It's a massage that cleanses your body of toxins and gets things flowing. It decreases inflammation, any kind of swelling, really good for it. And it is also really good for your immune system because it just helps things to flow through your body. And then you can get rid of it by peeing it out. So drink a lot of water after. And what else do we have? Oh, my transcendental meditation. So one of my many lives, I started doing transcendental meditation. So this is a form of meditation where you meditate twice a day, 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening. If the time sounds like too much of a commitment to you already, then just start with 10 minutes. But it's a mantra, and just, I'm going to link it in the show notes where you can find it, but it's called transcendental meditation. You take a course to become certified in it. Basically, the course is a little bit of BS. Like, you do have to pay for it. And I think it's just to keep up their education and their different, and like their worldwide networks, which is fine. It's almost like a donation. But essentially what they teach you is how to sit quietly and repeat a mantra that they give you in your head for 20 minutes. And in this 20-minute period, you're going to experience your thoughts. But then when you experience your thoughts, you just let them go without attaching any judgment to them. And it's in that noticing and letting go that you end up releasing so much stress. Your brain becomes like, it actually says that, like, if you look at a brain of somebody who's been meditating for 20 years, and then you look at a brain of somebody who's been meditating for like 5 minutes, there's really no difference in the meditative state. Like, it's not something that you get necessarily better at. You can feel more comfortable at it, but the benefits of meditating are pretty immediate, which I like, because I don't like to have to feel like I need to, I don't know, I don't like to work that hard at things. I just want it to come easy. And it doesn't always come easy. Some days are easier than others, but because I have ADHD, meditating is something that is like kind of a non-negotiable. It's like, do you want to be batshit crazy? Don't meditate. Do you want to feel like you have your life under control and you feel happy and more calm and like things make sense and the way that you act flows in a way that's getting shit done, then you need to meditate. So if you're anything like me, start meditating. TM is not the only way to do it, but it's the way that works for me. I love transcendental meditation. What else is working for you? Okay, what am I losing? So if you listened to last week's episode, you may have heard that I was addicted to vaping for a year and that I quit. And I have been almost like a month and a half, 2 months vape free, which is pretty incredible because it took me a full year to quit. I tried to quit 20 times at least. Like, I got the patches. I had my doctor put me on Wellbutrin because that's supposed to help you. It's like a Chantix, but I don't know. I didn't want to do Chantix. I heard Anthony Bourdain took Chantix and then he became suicidal. So maybe it works for some people. So my doctor put me on Wellbutrin. I think maybe that helped. I don't really know, but I basically just gave it to my higher power. This, I know that sounds crazy, but it was the only way that worked. Like, I was like, I have tried willpower so many times to get unaddicted to nicotine, which happened overnight. I was never addicted to nicotine ever in my entire life. It literally just happened. 34 years old, decided to try the vape and became super addicted to it and could not shake it for almost a year. And I finally quit. So if you or someone you know is addicted to nicotine, my recommendation would be read or listen to it. Actually, I listened to it. It's on Audible. It's called The Easy Way to Quit Smoking by Alan Carr. And he does like the easy way to quit drinking. He does all. But basically his way is, it's essentially cold turkey, but it's like this hypnosis that he does from, basically, when he starts the book, he's like, don't stop smoking. Keep smoking as much as you want while you listen to this book. And by the end, you're going to have no interest in it. Because what he says is like, there's two monsters, the big monster and the little monster. The little monster is your physical dependence on nicotine, which is actually quite small. It's like not anything more than just like a mild anxiety. And then the big monster is your mental attachment to it in thinking that it's doing something positive for you when it's actually not. I really liked his method. He also is super anti like nicotine patches or any kind of nicotine replacement therapy. Nicotine replacement therapy is made by the nicotine companies, same people making the cigarettes and the vape. So it's kind of a conflict of interest. It just keeps you dependent on nicotine in a different form. And so I tried that for a while. Doesn't work. Didn't work for me, at least. So basically, I did the cold turkey Alan Carr method. And I'm so grateful. I seriously feel like I have been unshackled. I cannot stand nicotine. Being addicted to it was the worst thing in my entire life, and now I'm free. So that has been working for me. Lovely. Sobriety. Sobriety is a big topic. I think we need a full episode on this. So, okay, where do I go with this? Sobriety has been something that I've toyed with. As you guys have heard, early in my life, I kind of had a big old introduction to drugs and alcohol in a way that most people and kids, I think, did. And I was a kid. I mean, I was 14. Like, your brains are not even fully developed until you're 21. So I could be much more intelligent than I am today, probably. But this is what you guys have to work with, and me too. But sobriety for me, I've done the, should I be in AA because I need a glass of wine every night to calm down? Should I have wine only on the weekends? Should I only smoke a little bit of weed? I don't like weed. For me, at this stage in my life, what's working for me is alcohol is just a bad, it does nothing good for your brain. If you have, it does nothing good for a healthy brain, but if you have any kind of like propensity towards anxiety, depression, ADHD, it makes things more difficult for you. In the moment, it's going to give you a little boost of serotonin, dopamine. It's going to make you feel relaxed and calm. But then ultimately, it just heightens your baseline cortisol levels. And I've learned all of this from so many different books. I can share them with you. One of my favorite is a book called Alcohol Lied to Me by Craig Beck. And by the way, I don't read. I listen to all these on Audible. So these are on Audible as well. And by the way, Audible, if you're listening, I would love to be paid by you since I since I promote you for free every day. Anyway, but yeah, so Alcohol Lied to Me by Craig Beck is a great book that kind of just informs you on all of this that really is not doing you any favors. But I do like a glass of wine at like an Italian restaurant. There's times when I feel like the benefits do outweigh the cons for me. And I have a brain that really should not be ingesting any alcohol at all because it makes me more anxious overall in my life. But what I've also come to terms with is that I don't have an allergy to alcohol like some people who start drinking, they can't stop, they end up in rehab. I've never been to rehab. No, I mean, I actually would love to go. I think it sounds great in a lot of ways. Anyway, but I think that some occasions, having a glass of champagne, having a glass of wine, feeling that camaraderie, I do think it can be, the positive effects of that can outweigh the negative, very rarely. And if you were like me when I was going through my divorce, drinking a glass of wine every night, that and then calling it like, oh, I had a hard day, I deserve this, that I would say just does not work for me. So that's something that I am losing, that I have lost. That I have lost my glass of wine every night doesn't work for me. Sunday fun days really don't work for me. It makes a fucking miserable Monday. So now what I've been trying, and I do not like being high. Like, I don't like weed. It makes me paranoid. But there's this like THC can that is the perfect amount that, for me at least. So you're going to have to try it for yourself if you want. It's called Can, C-A-N-N, is that what it's called? And it's not kombucha. This I thought it was kombucha and I accidentally got like a little buzz because they gifted it to me and I had like put it away. And so I thought it was kombucha and it wasn't. But I was pleasantly surprised because it just kind of takes the edge off just enough, like a glass of wine, but it doesn't give you that spike in cortisol that's going to disrupt your sleep and then make you overall more anxious. So that's something that I have really love. So I might keep trying that a little bit. Okay, so every episode I want to end with a book recommendation. I seem to have given a few already this episode, but one that I'm going to go into a little bit more because this was a book that really saved me a lot of times in my life, especially around like bad breakups, relationship stuff, but also just a time when you're feeling stuck. There's a book called A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson. And Marianne Williamson did run for president, and this is not this. She wrote this book in 1992. It is a meditation on A Course in Miracles, which is this spiritual text. It's almost like it's like this book that was written by somebody who claims they were divinely guided, that it like the pen was just moving and that God or spirit or universal energy told them to write this book. It's called A Course in Miracles. So Marianne Williamson in 1992 wrote this book on her analysis of A Course in Miracles. Okay, that's all of that to say, that this is a book that if you have a friend who's going through a breakup or you feel like you are in a rut, this book is a really wonderful way to reconnect with love, whatever that may be for you. She does use kind of religious jargon sometimes. So if that bothers you, then it might not be the best book for you. But this is a book that I've given to all my sisters, all my friends at some point. It's like highlighted, doggy-eared. I have it on Audible, but I do like the actual physical copy. And basically, she defines like a practice of how you can get yourself to turn back into the inner wisdom that we all have when you feel like you're being, when you feel like you're being kind of left in the dark, rejected, attacked, and dumped. Like if you got dumped, you got to read this book. Or if somebody really disappointed you and made you feel like you are worthless or not worthy of love, this is a great book. A Return to Love, A Reflections on the Principles of A Course in Miracle by Marianne Williamson. I think she might need to return to love because it's been like 30 something years since she wrote this book. And I saw her and at a different, I went to see her speak in like Pasadena. And she's like kind of angry, as a lot of people are at this, you know, we're living in kind of crazy times right now, but she needs to return to love. So I would offer this book to her also. Now that I think about it, I would love to bring on my sisters, Olivia and Sophie. I've given them both this book when they were going through really gnarly relationship turmoil, breakups, and we really can pick them. I don't know if it was daddy issues or what, but me and my sisters have really picked the some of the winners out there. Con artists and narcissists and, I mean, obviously it was also us. I'm not saying it takes two to tango, and whether or not we were 100% the victim, I think there's a part of everybody who is asking for exactly what they get in a relationship. So I'm going to have them on. We're going to talk about A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson and what it taught us and what we got out of it, and then who we shared it with and what they thought of it. Because I think it's just one of those books that's kind of like the sisterhood of the traveling self-help book. So thank you for bearing with me this first solo episode by myself. Obviously, there's so many directions we could take this show, and I really want this to be a collaboration. So please let me know what you want to hear more about. I can go totally scientific. We could break down everything I've done with the Amen Clinic in order to dissect my brain. And so maybe you can get some information on what's going on with your brain. I have lots of scans, supplement advice to offer. We could go really woo-woo, and I love going in that direction. I'm super into astrology right now. I could bring on my astrology friends and we can talk about charts and how to find, you know, your past lovers but things like that. Or I could bring my family on. I definitely want to have my sisters on. They have a lot to share with you about the relationship shit they've gone through and what we've learned together as sisters about different personality types, different ways that we've manifested the wrong relationships, the right relationships. So, you know, do as we say, not as we do kind of stuff, or just learn from our lessons. Or if I have any parents out there, let me know what you want to hear about single parenting, maybe divorcees who are getting back into the game. There's so many directions we can take this. And basically, I want to go on all the bad dates so that you don't have to. And I will be the guinea pig for this podcast. I want to do anything that you guys want to do. So let me know. And I'm so excited to take this journey with you in a new direction. And we do miss Kristen, but we have so much to cover here. So stick with me and share with your friends. Leave me a review, and thank you for listening. Love you guys. Bye.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.